I'll talk about a few recent results of the work which I did with Tuan Van Ploen, Arvind Rajaraman, and Joachim Ramfeld. And it is part of the program which we did over the last half of a year with Pete Klaus, Jason Kumar, Tuan Van Ploen, and Paul Townsend. We were trying to build superconformal dynamics of brains, and this is part of the program. So the outline is the following. So I'll skip this part. But I will just use the end of it to explain what happens with this superconformal anti-de Sitter correspondence when I include higher dimensional operators. And then I will explain how we came to conclusion that those vacua, anti-de Sitter 5 in string theory and anti-de Sitter 4 and times S7 and 7 times 4 plus the forms are exact. And I'll talk about fixed points in superspace. And those of you who followed the situation with supersymmetric attractor near black hole horizon, they will see the difference. There is something generalizing those supersymmetric attractors in superspace. And as an application of this construction, I'll talk about Green-Schwarz type string action on anti-de Sitter, which is very close to what was already explained to us by Zeitlin. So the conclusion of the first part, and I'll show transparencies if I will have more time, is the following. If you look carefully into this statement that usual super Poincaré supergravity has conformal symmetry, not the conformal supergravity, and you are curious how could this happen, and you find that there is one condition for this to be true, and so this part is not a conjecture, and I think everybody agrees, but still you have to use a very particular way of calculating bulk-to-bulk diagrams if you go for more than three-point correlators. And this is a well-known procedure in supergravity which is called background field method, such that you have background covariant propagators and background covariant vertices in the bulk. If you follow these rules, the fact that at the boundary you have rigid conformal symmetry is a trivial consequence. So there is no need to do calculation to check the conformal symmetry. Also, anomalies are not excluded, however. What, however, remains not clear, and this is a challenge. If somebody can tell that he has an answer, I ask most people, and there is no answer, is whether the fact that we, after we establish that on supergravity side, there is SU2,2/4 algebra, and the same algebra in n equals 4 super Young Mills, whether it fixes uniquely the correlators. And to the best of my understanding, it does not. And so here, this is a situation where either new ideas or and new calculations are required to sort out the situation with this conjecture. Now, after establishing the fact that if you do background field method calculation with precise Feynman rules for supergravity, which are known, what will happen if we will include those higher dimensional operators, which are known for many years to come out either from supergravity counterterms or from string calculations when they are finite, and we had Michael Green showing us all kind of use of these terms. So we know they are there. So how they will affect this anti-de Sitter conformal correspondence? And the answer, to address this question, it was necessary to remember that the background field method is consistent only if you put your system in the background, which solves the equation of motion of a theory. So if you have higher dimensional operators present, this background has to solve the equation of motion, not only of classical supergravity, which is, of course, does, but also with presence of those terms. And this forced us to look into the issue of exactness. And in a few next transparencies, I will give the arguments why those backgrounds are exact. And this leaves me with a statement that as long as we ask the question whether this background anti-de Sitter times a sphere with a form and superconformal field theory remain, this correspondence survives higher dimensional operators, the answer is yes. And there is nothing I can tell if those higher dimensional operators are considered without supersymmetry. So the usual correspondence between just anti-de Sitter and conformal theory may not survive in presence of higher dimensional correction. So why the vacuum is exact? Why we argue that the vacuum is exact? So we have studied the supergravity superspace, and many miracles of supergravity are best understood with the use of manifestly supersymmetric method, which is a superspace. So the construction consists of establishing what are the torsion, the curvature, and the form fields. And in generic point, those depend both on bosonic and fermionic coordinates of the superspace. And in particular for the string background, what is known that all those geometrical objects can be expressed in terms of two superfields, one which starts with dilatina and the other which starts with self-dual form. So the interesting property of the superfields on our background is that this vanishes, and this becomes a constant tensor. And this is highly non-trivial statement, because those are long 32-component superfields. And to make to check this statement, we had to impose we had to use the fact that there are 32 unbroken supersymmetries here. So after this was established, this is a key point. The superfields, which are functions of x and theta, are suddenly constant. This brings me to the following statement, that we have some universal fixed point in supergravity superspace. So the superspace consists of bosonic and fermionic coordinates. And what we have established in all cases, and string background is one of them, is that all of those geometric objects, including torsion, curvature, and the form, at this point stop to depend on x and theta. And so we have a first derivative on all of those vanishing. And so this is a generalization to the superspace of this concept of supersymmetric attractors. And it goes precisely in the same way if we start with superspace of 11-dimensional supergravity. And this works equally well for anti-de Sitter 4S7 and anti-de Sitter 7 times S4. Now, the way we establish the exactness, there is a chain of arguments which I'll probably skip. I'll just claim that there is a stability of the superspace fixed points with respect to quantum correction. And the chain of arguments you may skip and just look here. So in the end of the day, I had to prove that the fermionic derivative of all these objects vanishes. And it does, because I am at the fixed point. So everything which many people have heard, the scalars run into fixed point near the horizon, means they go into this basin of attraction where the first derivative doesn't change. Here I needed the theta direction. And this allows to prove that all those vacua are exact, which is, I would say, a rather strong statement. However, I believe it is correct. Now, those are critical systems, so we expect universality classes. And yes, indeed, on one hand, we will describe everything in precisely the same way for each time we have odd dimension space, we have electric and magnetic near-horizon geometry. Each time we have even dimension, we have self-dual objects. For all of them, everything which I'll tell you later will work. And the universality classes you will see in the fact that it will be each time different superconformal algebra, but it will work always the same way. Okay, here is the picture we used over the years, and we have seen it a few times here already, that Brain interpolates between two maximally supersymmetric vacua. I think it started by Gibbons in 82. The idea was developed. And so now what I would like to add to the picture is the following statement, that we have brains which are interpolating between two fixed points in superspace, and each fixed point has a very beautiful description. This one we know for many years, and any textbook in supersymmetry has a nice description of flat superspace as a coset space for superpancreas over the Lorentz. Now the new part is the fact that we have here those new exact vacua, and this brings us back to all the singletons and all this beautiful work where representation of superconformal groups have been studied by many people. So physical states here at this Minkowski vacua are what we expect when we quantize, for example, Green-Schwarz string in the flat superspace. They form representation of superpoincare group. Now here, the expectation is that upon quantization of Green-Schwarz string in this anti-de Sitter background, we expect somehow end up by physical states on the world volume, which will form the representations of superconformal group. So let me tell you how we are going to proceed. First, what is the supergravity in generic point of the Lorentz superspace? This is how all the supergravities are described in space. So we typically have only a Lorentz generator here in the definition of differential operator, and the total geometry goes via the definition of the torsion and the Lorentz curvature. And there are some constraints and some form fields, and the basic point is we have just Lorentz curvature. And in generic point, the superspace is described by those torsion and curvature, which always depend on x and theta, and those are generic functions, and all the extended objects like brains have been described in this generic background. So the supergravity field bind in superspace have the following form. This is something which we have in space at theta equals zero, just usual graviton. This part at theta equals zero starts with gravitino. We have zero here at theta equals zero, and this is just one. And over more than 20 years, there was precisely one gauge used in superspace. We have at theta equals zero, the fermion-fermion part is flat. And for many years, I was hoping that this is to be changed, because if we make the boson-boson part curved, after understanding how things with black holes work in Newman-Penrose formulation, which has commuting Turing spinner, it becomes clear that we have to change the structure. And yes, indeed, this is what seemed to happen. So when you are at the fixed point, either super Poincaré or down the throat, the theory acquires an additional alternative or the same type of description, which is just conceptually simpler. So, and because of this universality, we can start with any supergroup. I have some bosonic operators and some fermionic, and this is a standard Murray-Cartan equation, which requires that the D squared, which is built using these supergroup operators, vanishes. And this way, we reach this quasi superspace construction, which is called homogeneous superspace. And at the spring conference on supermembrane in Trieste, many experts in the field helped me to understand it, and in particular, Paul Howe has established parts of things which I will talk about in all details for M2 case, which is 11-dimensional supergravity supermembrane. So the solution is quite simple. What we can do is just using this universality to solve for the field binds in superspace. We spent like 8 years or more on solving all kind of equations in this space. But we are talking about supersymmetric systems, so it is natural to solve everything in superspace. And so here is the answer, and it is very beautiful and very universal. My inputs are the following. I need to know what the metric is, and the connection are following. And then the nice feature of this solution, you never generate gravitino. You start with a bosonic background, and you succeed to organize things in such a way that at no level at theta, there is an appearance of gravitino. And the price for this is to change the gauge. So instead of sitting in Vesdomina gauge, which was the only one used before, we'll have to introduce a new gauge, which is based on our knowledge for each of these near-horizon geometries. We have Killing spinners, and recently they have been explicitly shown for all configuration of interest by Lou Pope and Ramfeld. So as soon as I know the metric, and as soon as I know the Killing spinners, And as soon as I made a decision which of these universality classes I want, which means I know which superalgebra I'm going to use, those are structure constant of the algebra. And this is the answer for all of those cases. There is some matrix, quadratic in theta, and as soon as I have this cinch of this matrix, this is a complete and universal answer, which is quite elegant, because those are 32 thetas, so you would expand a complete mess, and it is not. So the alternative form of the solution is here. And this form allows to use both gauges, either Vezzumino gauge or Killing-Spinner gauge. So I'd like to explain it. Again, the input into this construction is I have to know the values of my object in the usual space at theta equals zero. And then I have to identify the superconformal algebra, the way Paul Townsend was explaining. We look at the object, we find what kind of superconformal algebra we are dealing with, then I know what the structure constants are, and here is my space. It's completely solved for all cases. Now, the option is I can either use the fact that I know Killing spinners, and then I'll go to this, what I call Killing spinner gauge. And this requires basically to solve this equation here. So as you see, the covariant derivative on theta is precisely what is the equation defining Killing spinners on those backgrounds. And so if I choose an option not to solve this equation, then I go to Vezzumino gauge, and this means that the fermion-fermion part of the superspace at theta equals zero, I keep flat, and it is okay. Or I can use the fact that Killing spinners are known, and then I will use the solution so that this covariant derivative on theta forces me to use the standard Philbin type construction. So I don't want to use those original theta variables. I want to make a change of variables so that I have the Philbin acting on the flat theta. And in the end of the day, this choice forces me to include the fact that not only boson-boson part of space become curved, but also fermion-fermion part of space is curved. But it is known for each of these classes because the Killing spinners are known. And so there is the curvature in the fermion part of the superspace, which is a novel feature of this. So as an application, we were building actions of extended objects, trying to exhibit superconformal symmetry. And part of the problem was that those extended objects, they do not interact with covariant objects like torsion or curvature. They interact with Philbins. And therefore, it was necessary to establish what they are. And because we found a closed form of them, this allows us to use all the extended extended object solution which have kappa symmetry, including D3 brain and M5 brain and D2 brain and Green-Schwarz string in the first place, and place them into this background, which is not quite as simple as the flat superspace, but it is still, we have a reasonably serious control over what we are dealing with because of this particular coset construction, which is solvable. So let me remind you, this is more or less a short version of what Arkady told us. So we start with either Green-Schwarz type 2B string action, which in general supergravity background was worked out by Grisero and Howe and Mezinchesko and Nielsen and Townsend, or which is equivalent, and this equivalence is a non-trivial fact, we can start with the action which Tatin and Mitsaev established. So you can directly start with this coset construction. So what we have done, we have first of all identified this coset as a fixed point of the generic type 2B superspace, starting from the usual supergravity site. And also we have found a closed form of the action, which I just described recently. So the action looks quite nice. I mean, it's the same action which you have seen before, except all these L's, on one hand, then they depend on 32 thetas, so it is a complicated expression. But they actually depend on this particular matrix M, which knows only about your choice, whether you have decided to go to this vacuum number 1, where there is a super Poincaré group, or vacuum number 2, where there is the anti-de Sitter group. And so you have this choice. It is the same action, and it is just what kind of superconformal structure constant you what kind of structure constant you will include in description of your space. And so this is the closed form answer. And as Arkady pointed out, and there was, thank you, there was a lot of discussion I had with John Schwartz about what can we do with this action. So, of course, we would like very much to do the same thing which people did with Green-Schwarz action, to find a nice gauge where everything will be quadratic, we will solve it, and that's it, and do everything else. It is not clear that this is possible. We may still hope to simplify it dramatically, because so far things work so well that it may still be more simplifications and all kinds of things using the technique which people applied because of the two-dimensional property. And, well, this is remains for future. What I would like to show you is something quite amazing. So I thought, what is a nice part which I could explain easily here? Because the rest is very technical. So this is this matrix, M squared, which is quadratic in theta, and which depends only on the structure constant of the algebra. So let me remind you that if I decided to choose the flat superspace, supersymmetry commutes with translation. Okay? Therefore, this piece is gone from the matrix. And two supersymmetries generate translation. They never generate Lorentz transformation. Therefore, this piece is gone. So I trivially have here in this construction the usual Green-Schwarz section. However, I could make, there is something I agree with Dan, very deep going on here. So I have this tremendously complicated type 2B superspace, but it boils down to having non-vanishing constant torsion. And you see it in appearance of this Q in the superconformal algebra, because there is a torsion in boson-fermion part. But it is constant. And so instead of Q and P commuting in super Poincaré, they stop to commute. And this is why you see this F and it shows up here. Now, let me remind you, there is a non-vanishing constant Lorentz curvature, which boils down to the fact that two supersymmetries in conformal algebra do generate Lorentz rotation. And so out of all the complication of geometry, we just have some structure constant, which do not vanish here. And so we have this matrix, which knows everything about this near horizon situation. And so, according to John Schwartz, when you do right things with anti-de Sitter times your sphere, it is not much worse than flat space, hopefully. We still have to work out and see if we can make it a doable program to do the calculations and everything. So the basic information which I was trying to tell today is that we have this six-point engineering Lorentz superspace of supergravity, and there is an alternative description as a coset, some homogeneous space, which includes simultaneously both flat superspace, where G is a super Poincaré and the stability group is just the Lorentz group of our flat vacuum, or we have a near horizon superspace where G is one of these superconformal groups and H is a product of the Lorentz groups. And so, as I was trying to put out, we have this fantastic universality. So for all cases, it will work. For example, for M theory, we expect OSP 8/4 over SO1, 3 times SO7. For M5 brain, we expect this supergroup over the corresponding product of Lorentz group. For type 2B, it was already shown by Arkady Tsetin how nice this construction worked for the Green-Schwarz thing. For black holes, we already know that, and there will be more about it in Tuan's talk, that there is SU2 1,2 over SO1, 1 over SO2. So this is more or less all I wanted to say.
Questions, please? I'm sorry. Yes?
Could you speak up? No, no. Your claim with Michael Green is absolutely correct. The R2D4 contribution to equation of motion is just one variation and it will vanish. But as soon as you are done with four variations, you have something which will change the correlators of four gravitons versus the three-level supergravity. Prove things that the three-point correlator will not change?
For example?
From R2D4, of course. But there are other terms which I have to consider. So I don't have an answer at hand, but it is certainly possible to establish it.
I have a question. Earlier in your talk, you said if you just use bosonic symmetry, you would have a higher dimensional operator which wouldn't have a conformal effect in the boundary. Could you give us an example?
Yes. Yes. It was actually when Lenny Susskind asked Arvind Rajaraman and me, why should, I mean, it's trivial. I take anything and I'll get no corrections to antidissider. How could I change it? And so we looked into examples when you do not have support from supersymmetry and you look on some higher order dimensional operators and antidissider times the sphere stopped to be a solution. And the way you calculate, especially when you will include higher point correlators, you will have to have bulk-to-bulk propagators and vertices. And the way things work in background field method of supergravity, especially, you have to make sure that the background solves the equation of motion of your effective action. And it is easy to show example. For example, take this R2D4 and don't make it C2D4 as Tom and Michael noticed. So if you have a conformal Weyl tensor, the first variation will still give you C cube. And so this is, it will vanish because the conformal, this is conformal sled. However, if it would be R2D4 and you vary it once, you will get the contribution to dilaton field equation proportional to R2D4, which would not vanish, and therefore the constant dilaton is not a solution anymore, and this will absolutely feed back to the geometry, and the antidissider stop to be a solution.
Thank you. Let's thank Renata again.